You're listening to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
In the news for this Friday, Vice President Kamala Harris visits Wisconsin to remind state attorneys general they're on the front lines of protecting women's health care rights. Small business owners are mobilizing to vote for candidates who have their own interests at heart rather than mega corporate interests. A new National Marquette Law School poll reaffirms how far out of the mainstream Republican politicians are becoming, even to Republican voters. State Superintendent Jill Underly gives her State of Education address. Tim Michaels responds by proving his anti-bullying plan for schools is to be an even bigger bully. And we will celebrate National Old Fashioned Month. This is Up North News for Friday, September 23rd. I'm Pat Kreitlow. I just have to decide which tab on my browsers I'm going to be looking at, the one that I wrote today or the one I wrote yesterday.
Oh, I didn't know if you started celebrating the Old Fashioned Month early today.
Yes. I have to say the one that I made on your show yesterday at 2:45 is probably the earliest I've made an Old Fashioned in some time.
Yeah, anything earlier than that, it would have to be like a vacation Old Fashioned. So
yeah, and even then, I think of that as more of an evening cocktail anyway. In the afternoon, you're going to have a beer or, you know, something like that. Or maybe, you know, a Captain and Coke or Jack and Coke, something like that. You know?
But around the holidays, say Christmas and New Year's, I think I definitely have Old Fashions around. But it was a holiday yesterday with it being Wisconsin Old Fashioned Day. So it kind of worked out. So, you have an earlier one because of the holiday.
Sure. I don't have a problem at all. Courier Newsroom National Political Editorial Director Carolyn Fiddler will join us at some point to talk about the week in politics at the state level all around the country as we continue to keep you updated on things that are happening here in Wisconsin. And a lot of the issues are becoming increasingly familiar, but it's because they're important that people are becoming increasingly vocal about them, which is why the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists put out a letter Thursday that says a Republican-led proposal for a nationwide abortion ban at 15 weeks would endanger the health of women and have severe consequences for physicians as well. There was an analysis of Lindsey Graham's bill done by Jennifer Klein, the White House Gender Policy Council chair, that was obtained by the Associated Press, saying that if passed, this bill would create a nationwide health crisis, imperiling the health and lives of women in all 50 states. It would transform the practice of medicine, opening the door to doctors being thrown in jail if they fulfill their duty of care to patients according to their best medical judgment. President Biden himself said at a fundraiser that Republican efforts to ban abortion were even more extreme than his own Catholic faith, where abortion is prohibited, but life-saving surgery for the mother is permitted, even if it means the baby will die as a result. Look, we know the national ban has no chance of becoming law in a Democratic-controlled Congress. Certainly, you know, there'd be a Joe Biden veto, but you have to start thinking of these things now because there are many people who would want this to happen or want to get people on the record of wanting it to happen. And we saw what happened with Roe v. Wade. So there's no reason to simply, you know, wave this off. So the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, it's a nonprofit that represents more than 60,000 physicians nationwide, my spouse included, fair disclosure, takes issue and gives its concerns about the proposed law, saying that the 15 weeks gestational age limit is, quote, not grounded in science and medical evidence and would dramatically interfere with the ability of patients to receive timely medical care, including prenatal care, miscarriage management, and abortion care. The organization argued that doctors would become less skilled if the bans were in effect. Their training would be altered to comply with law. And the letter said doctors feared the bans already in place in several states will have, quote, deadly consequences, further exacerbating the worsening maternal mortality crisis, within which 80% of deaths are preventable. The White House also said the proposal could have a chilling effect with the prospect of doctors unwilling to care for patients. Doctors could face criminal charges. And for that reason and more, we heard from our friend Dr. Kristen Lyerly, an OBGYN, who has talked about as well the impact on rural health, that if fewer physicians are going into OBGYN care and many of them gravitate toward where the larger medical centers are, the larger populations, it's going to be that much harder to attract good maternity care, maternal OBGYN care in rural places. More hospitals are already, ending obstetric care, and people are having to drive farther and farther for delivering their babies or for getting, emergency care if need be. All of these things, again, to maybe to you and maybe to me, seem obvious. But there are plenty of people that would say, well, that's how they want it. And that's what they would do. And even though Tim Michaels has not yet, moderated his position, which I thought he would. I thought he'd try, to backpedal toward the middle. The fact of the matter is that this is a legislature as well, that even if Michaels were to lose and Evers were to win, the Republicans could gain a couple of more seats and have a supermajority, and they'd be able to pass whatever they want and override a veto from Governor Evers. So all the more reason to look at your state legislative races as well, and don't forget to go all the way down your ballot. We'll have more after this. You're up north. Here, what happened to Doobie Brothers and Steely Dan all morning long? Did you run out of songs?
I ran out of pre-cut songs, so therefore I just went to the next one after Black Cow on YouTube.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Is all. As Goes Wisconsin, coming next on this fine network, dare we say, empire of radio stations, and Kristen's guests. Let's see, in the next hour, Dr. Phil Rocco will help break down this week's Wisconsin news. Luann Bird, we've talked to her, candidate for the 84th Assembly District. We'll talk about why Bird is the word, and I'm pretty sure that has something to do with a musical event that she's about to be a part of. And also a discussion about Rosh Hashanah with Cantor Martin Levson from CEE Waukesha. And Ann Wall, author of Awaken in Nature, Discover Your True Self. So Kristen Bry has a very busy show over at As Goes Wisconsin. Meanwhile, Chad Holmes will have his show this afternoon on Bull Falls Radio and Homegrown Radio in Wisconsin Rapids and Wausau. And Kristen Conway is a candidate for assembly in the 85th District. We talked to her last month sometime, and I just saw that she posted, in case you haven't heard my name enough on the radio this week, I'll be on Bull Falls Radio with Chad Holmes starting today at 3:15. She writes, I'll be addressing the absolute nonsense that is the attack ad, the support that I've received, and how I found out that the newest dog whistle from the extreme right is the term biological male. So she urges people to tune in to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, and also Homegrown Radio, WFHR, and catch her talking about that. So I don't even know if I want to wander into that at this point. You know, why biological male is suddenly a thing. I know for a time there was like this question. They think they got this gotcha question, members of the extreme right, when they say, define a woman. How do you define a woman? Define a woman. And you know, when you try to talk to people about, gender constructs, they go, oh, you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't describe a woman. It's like, what? Shut up. So apparently biological male is right in there as well.
Yeah. Josh Hawley has a whole book coming out about like masculinity, and he was.
The guy who was running like a child, like a little bunny running through the woods.
Yeah,
that guy. He's going to be the real man.
The people that he put a fist up in the air and supported as he was walking into the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. He was running away from those same people.
Yeah, running away from the people. It's just I don't know, and I referenced this in the newsletter editorial that I wrote for yesterday about, you know, being a man and toughen up and, you know, just take it, rub some dirt on it. I remember growing up, look, you're too young to remember John Wayne, but it doesn't matter if it's John Wayne or if it's, you know, John Cena today, that it's always, you know, you got to be tough. You've got to be whatever. Again, this is on TV. This is the movies, okay, where the toughest, baddest hombre always wins. That's not how everyday life works at its best. It works best with collaboration. It works best with understanding one another. It works best with conversations and compromise. And most people know that. But some people think they can get traction, like Josh Hawley and, you know, who's ever opposing Kristen Conway here. Some people feel like the John Wayne persona is the thing that they have to embrace. And they just end up becoming a caricature of themselves. I mean, they just do. It works for some people, you know, as an image on TV and the movies, but, you know, there's nothing real about it. Let's see. I promoted Kristen's show, Chad's show. There should be something here for me. Here we go. Next week's guests include attorney Mark Thompson, a member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, and also has a show on this fine network of radio stations. And Up North News reporter Christina Lurie will join us Tuesday of next week to talk about her interview with former White House photographer Pete Souza, who is known for his many photos from the Obama administration. And if you've been, if you were to be getting our newsletter, you would see some excerpts. It's a great conversation that she had with him. So looking forward to talking to Christina about that.
I have Pete Souza's book on my coffee table as well. It's an excellent, like, he put a whole photo book together as his work throughout the Obama administration, and it is a terrific book, and there are so many excellent photos.
Apparently, he has a new one coming out, because that's part of why he was doing kind of the media tour, if you will, and was talking to Christina and others, and I'm just scrolling down to yesterday's newsletter. Let's see. Apparently, whatever new book he's coming, it's called Inside the Bubble, The Most Memorable Places to Travel with the President. And it is going to be released on September 27th. So that'd be Tuesday of next week. So that works out.
Perfect day for that interview.
Yeah, I know. Wow. I don't know. One of the excerpts here was asking, how many days a week were you on the road? And Pete's answer was, it's hard to say, but I know we circled the globe the equivalent of 58 times aboard Air Force One. We were on the road a lot. I mean, that's a lot of flying. And it's, you know, it's not like Harrison Ford is on that plane. It's just your workspace, you know, with the same people that you're cooped up with going from, you know, from town to town. And if you didn't see Air Force One with Harrison Ford, I'm sorry, the reference was lost on you.
No, I know that one. I know that one.
Yeah, okay.
I think I watched it in school. I think it was...
Wait a minute, that's a little violent to be showing in school.
I think they had to skip some parts, but it was... I think it was in like AP Gov or something like that after you take the exam, because the exams are AP Gov, or all the AP classes are like...
By the way, did you catch this humble brag? You know, AP, you know, advanced placement, you know?
Yes, yes.
Go ahead. Tell us more, boy genius.
I was very smart in government, and that was one of the few that I could like not do a whole lot in and then pay very little attention, but still cared about it, that I could do well. And I'm pretty sure after the AP exam, because there's like a month still left of school, and so senior year, our AP teacher had us do like some debates and stuff like that, and then showed movies as well. So a little easier schedule after the AP exam was done.
Well, that part makes sense. And again, there is a place for, you know, movies of all sorts and popular culture and everything else. But yeah, I would hope that'd be a somewhat edited version of that, because
probably the TBS version or whatever they play on cable. It's probably what we got.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that does. That kind of makes sense that way. We didn't promote the other guests for next week, the tiny humans who are going to be right here by my side next week. I mentioned a couple of days ago, but if you missed it, I have two adult daughters and each has two kids. And one of them will be visiting next week with little Teddy, who's 3 years old, and little Charlotte, who is 6 months old. And I was really stressing for a bit about how are we going to keep this crew quiet, because there's, you know, no doors here on my home office. And I finally came to peace with and said, why should we keep them quiet for 3 hours? If he's going crazy because of, he wants to watch Bluey or something like that, let him go crazy. It's an insight to domestic life here. That's the way radio and TV works this day. We were talking about that with a neighbor yesterday, about doing this. And we agreed that the moment of change was that BBC interview where the guy was giving a very serious interview and the door opens and in walks his kid, who's probably about 3-4 years old or 5 years old, just acting all goofy. And then I think it's the mom that comes rushing in and tries to take him out of there. And everybody had such a great laugh. And I think from that point on, it's just basically like, you know what? Don't try to pretend, that you have to be stoic all the time. You're at home. Live a little. It's okay.
I remember that clip. It went viral fast. And if I recall correctly, there were two children though. Like there were like two, and she was trying to corral both of them, and she was just having the hardest time.
Oh, that's right. Oh my gosh.
I think there is a little bit of a dynamic shift there now, where it is what it is.
Speaking of which, I got toys for that. I'm gonna go get the toys. I'm gonna get them.
Tap dance for a second. Okay. Well, folks, as Pat is going to grab the props that he's going to look for, we could tell you a little bit about the two new stations that you may be listening to us on as well. So in Richland Center, launching last week, Friday, Richland Center has a new news talk format where you will hear this fine program, WRCE. It's 1450 AM, 107.7 FM, in the Richland Center area. And in Amory, Wisconsin, you can listen on Lake Air, which is 1260 AM, WXCE. So WRCE, WXCE added to the Civic Media family. And now Pat has...
WXCO.
Yep.
I have toys. I wanted to see if this is Bluey.
Is it Bingo or Bango?
Bingo, yes. Bingo. Thank you. Why isn't it right on here?
Huh. Because the kids all know the names. They don't need to be labeled. They can't read. I can't believe those things are huge.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So I'm thinking, that Bluey and Bingo are going to be a hit.
There you
for
go.
The kids next week.
That'll be huge.
Or, now, which would you give them? Would you give them that or what I got at the Brewers game when I was there weekend before? A Batman cape.
Oh, there you go.
Did you see the Brewers Batman cape that they were giving away?
I did not. Every time I go, I usually go on a bobblehead Sunday. That's typically when I try to squeeze in a Brewer game. So I did get a bobblehead earlier this year. And outside of that, I don't get a whole lot of Brewers merch from the games that I get to go to. But my nephew, my sister's kid, is also named Teddy, and he is 4, and he's very much in the superhero phase right now, and Batman's not the top one. He likes Spider-Man. So there's been a lot of... He just had his 4th birthday, and it was all Spider-Man themed. And
oh, sure.
The amount of Spider-Man toys that he now has is... I really hope he doesn't grow out of that phase too fast, because it was a just treasure trove of Spider-Man action figures, clothes, everything. So Teddy is all decked out in Spider-Man gear now.
Here's you talk about getting bobbleheads and Batman capes and things like that. Here's how old I am. And I think this was long gone by the time you came around, where the big thing was Bat Day, and every kid actually got
the little
Louisville Slugger.
Yeah, the little, or like a
not the little ones, a real bat. A real baseball bat, a real Louisville Slugger. And I think part of the reason they stopped doing it, besides the obvious ones, of course, was like when some big play would happen, they'd all be banging, on the floor of the stadium, by their feet. And I mean, it got so loud at Old Metropolitan Stadium where the Twins played back in the day. So for that and other reasons I'm sure are obvious, bat day is no longer a thing.
I got a souvenir bat. I got like the little mini one, and that's it. That sounds awesome.
I know. Let's bring back bat day. What could possibly go wrong? We'll be back. You're up north.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
It is going to be cool and rainy in parts of Wisconsin today and into tomorrow with temps in the 60s. I was actually just pulling up to see, since it's gotten overcast here, to see if rain was already in Wisconsin any place, and not just yet, getting set to move across the border. And so I think everybody's going to get a little wet from time to time as we move forward. Hoping to visit with Carolyn Fiddler, who from Courier Newsroom talks about a newsletter she puts together with news from the state political level all around the country. So we would look for, you know, maybe some things that we have in common with Wisconsin news events, some similar themes. But in a related story to that, the New York Times has put up I would call it, you know, it's in the category of news you can use, about the most dominant toxic election narratives that are online right now. And this is put together by Cecilia Kang, technology reporter for the New York Times, who has been covering social media platforms since 2005, which I don't know how you haven't gone crazy at that point. But she begins with these three things: ballot mules, poll watch parties, groomers. Those topics are now among the most dominant, divisive, and misleading narratives online about November's election, according to researchers and data analytics companies. The effects of these inflammatory online discussions are being felt in the real world. Voters have flooded some local election offices with misinformed questions about supposedly rigged voting machines, while some people appear befuddled about what pens they can use on ballots and whether mail-in ballots are still even legal. Or as Lisa Mara, the elections director for Cochise County, Arizona, told a congressional committee last month, voters are angry and confused. They simply don't know what to believe. Well, that's because of, you know, there's just so much garbage that's on social media these days. And the article continues that the most prevalent of these dangerous narratives fall into three main categories: continued falsehoods about rampant election fraud, threats of violence and citizen policing of elections, and divisive posts on health and social policies that have become central to political campaigns. And so they write, you know, here's what to know about them. And of course, we start with election fraud, you know, that false claims are commanding the conversation online ever since Trump made up, you know, the story that he made up well before Election Day, because he knew it was likely he was going to lose. Stolen election, that phrase, was mentioned more than 325,000 times on Twitter from June 19th to July 19th, up nearly 900% from the same period in 2020. On a video sharing site, videos with the term "Stop the Steal" or "Stolen Election" are among the most popular. In May, such posts attracted 2.5 million views, more than triple the total from a year earlier. The conspiracy theories have spawned new terms such as ballot trafficking and ballot mules, used to describe people who are paid to cast fake ballots. It was popularized in the propaganda film 2000 Mules, which has been widely discredited. But it has put into many people basically a sense of grievance. According to the leader of one research firm that studies misinformation and fake social media accounts, he says the 2020 election, quote, primed the public on a set of core narratives which are evolving in 2022. The second group after the big lie is about calls to action. And by the way, that's something I'm trying to get done here, is to get somebody from the Wisconsin Elections Commission or otherwise to talk about what people are saying they will do about being, you know, they will do citizen policing of ballot sites, of voting places. And there are definitely state and federal laws on what you are not allowed to do near a polling place that could interfere with somebody's right to vote. And I think it's a very real concern that some of these, I believe the scientific term is goofballs, would try to intimidate voters or intimidate poll workers, where, you know, where poll watching is allowed. You know, citizens can, you know, come in and observe the process. But again, they have to abide by certain rules. And online, you know, one of the most shared tweets this summer so far has been a photo of people staking out a ballot box with a message that, quote, residents are determined to safeguard the drop boxes. Well, here in Wisconsin, that's not an issue because, of course, drop boxes are no longer a thing because of the right-wing justices on the state Supreme Court who never had a problem with drop boxes until Trump used it as a convenient excuse. Anger toward the FBI has also been on the increase ever since the raid on Donald Trump's Florida residence for those top secret state secrets he stole. Abolish FBI has become a trending hashtag across social media. And that, of course, has led to concerns that it can lead to violence. And there are other discussions, say, transgender rights that are becoming the focus of campaign chatter and leading to a surge in falsehoods there. A month after Florida passed legislation that prohibits classroom discussion or instruction about sexual orientation and gender identity, the volume of tweets falsely linking gay and transgender individuals to pedophilia has soared. Language claiming that gay and transgender people were, quote, grooming children for abuse increased more than 400% on Twitter in April. And it's not helped when members of Congress pass along these messages. Now, Meta, the owner of Facebook and Instagram, has since removed many of the political ads that mention it. But David Thiel, the chief technical officer at Stanford Internet Observatory, which studies online extremism and disinformation, says that the repeated pushing of so-called groomer narratives has resulted in a wider anti-LGBT moral panic that has been influencing state and federal legislation and is likely to be a significant midterm issue. So all kinds of things that are out there, and very, very few of them good. I am reminded that somebody very close to me said something that I've since heard from several other people as well, but it was just a gut punch to hear this person talking about, you know, why he voted for Donald Trump in 2016. And he says, you know, Pat, I know you've told me about this and you've told me about that, and I know you mean well, but I think they all lie on both sides, and the people that I'm voting for, you know, they might be lying too, but they're saying things that I want to believe are true. And I said, what? And like I said, I've heard it so many times as well. It's like, well, I think both sides are making stuff up, so I'm voting for the person whose lies, you know, I think are less of a lie, or whose lies I, you know, hope aren't lies. And I don't have a great response to that. And I would think after this much news coverage and this much time on the radio that I might have a better answer to those things by now. But I do not. The first burden to overcome, frankly, for a lot of us was using the word lie. We tried to give people the benefit of the doubt because, you know, we are raised to believe in honest, good faith debate. there's nothing wrong with debate. I've had more debates than I could possibly count with people who are whose position is, you know, as right of center as I am left of center. And we look for those areas where we can, you know, find some agreement. We define what it is we disagree on. And, you know, but we do so in a way that's rooted in facts. It's an entirely different thing when people start saying things that are proven not to be factual, but they keep using it either because they want it to be true or they just know that it is an effective talking point. Well, that's lying. And so we finally had to get to the point, I think, in the media first, of not hesitating to call a lie, you know, not a falsehood, not an untruth, not an exaggeration. You know, those all sound like synonyms, but at some point when there is motive involved, it's a lie. That is what it is. And so you have to do that first and reestablish the terms of debate. But right now on social media, I mean, you can just put anything you want out there, and there's nobody to correct the record except Carolyn Fiddler from Courier News, who is here now to set the record straight on all of these matters. Now, Carolyn, I was reading from a New York Times article that had just come out about the flood of disinformation in certain areas, you know, in social media, and how that traffic has only ramped up, and how that makes it harder to, you know, have a conversation, much less a debate about actual issues. But these are issues you track for a newsletter that covers state politics across 50 states, something that you was on hiatus for a while. It's now coming back, allegedly. It was going to come out on Fridays. So I thought we'd check, you know, after 1 week since we talked about it. Did you get your homework done? Is the newsletter coming out?
Yes, it will be coming out later today. It is now in editing. Some of my colleagues want to make it look a little prettier. I think it looks just fine. I love it the way it is, but...
Oh, trust me, I know a thing or two about debating the style of a newsletter.
You know? Oh, I'm in good company. I love it.
Oh, yes, you are. but my goodness, newsletters, you know, it's funny that we talk about how much newspapers have gone away, but I think the newsletter has, people thought news had been replaced by social media. I would argue, no, social media is where we're all gabbing about it. But yeah. I think newsletters increasingly are where people are getting basically their actual dose of news, depending on the topic area where they want to, you know, subscribe.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a whole like little cottage industry around newsletters now. Substack and like things like that are just popped up, and these companies exist because people make money off of them.
Well, thanks to you last week, I actually opened up, you know, Substack for the first time and started to get into the, okay, here's how you would create something. And so I kind of worked on, again, what it would look like, what would the banner be like, what would format be like. And then I sat down to maybe write something for the first time, got a case of writer's block, went to get a beer and never came back to it. So at some point... I'm going to put a little something together, but you have far more discipline than me.
Oh, thanks. I would just say I sit down and get so angry that things just start coming out. And then I have to like edit later for clarity and swears.
It's for swears. I know what you mean. When I was first writing editorials for Up North News, and it was the early days of Trump spreading disinformation about COVID. And so I would write these editorials and I realized I can't hit send on this. I have to write it. I have to walk away for a while and then I have to come back. And I know there's certain people out there going, no, hit send. It's like, no. You actually do. There's a reason it's called a first draft or a rough draft.
Exactly. And discretion often is the better part of valor. So
yes. Yeah.
You can always choose to send later. You can't unsend later.
Exactly. We've got a minute before we have to take a break, so we'll talk more on the backside. But, you know, briefly, is there any like particular overarching themes in this week's newsletter about what's been happening in the states?
Honestly, if there's any theme, it's that Republicans get it and Democrats still don't.
How so?
In terms of like supporting and funding and giving resources to these down ballot races, not just state legislature, but attorneys general, secretaries of state. Republicans are writing big checks for those offices and those groups that fund those offices, and Democrats just aren't.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. We will talk more about that, Carolyn Fiddler, on the other side of the break here. In the meantime, if you've heard this scintillating talk about newsletters and you would like to sign up for the Up North News newsletter, you go to upnorthnewswi.com. Don't forget the WI. Click newsletter in the top banner and you get something that Christina Laurie and myself put together every weekday. We'll be back after this. You're Up North. I should explain for Carolyn, who just joined us, Carolyn Fiddler, that we've gone with a Doobie Brothers and Steely Dan theme today because I have the concert t-shirt on. But I've now covered it with my kitchen apron, my Holstein Cow kitchen apron, because it's time to talk old fashions. And Luke was nice enough to invite me to on his show yesterday afternoon. So I made one live on air. I still have the ingredients right here. I've got my bottle of bitters. I've got my bottle of J-Bavay brandy and everything. But it's still just a little early to concoct that, Carolyn, don't you think?
Well, I'm actually distracted by the fact that you were able to describe your cow as a Holstein cow apron. Most people just be like, cow, whatever.
No,
but I do appreciate the distinction. Yep. Well, my dad breeds brown Swiss, so.
I was going to say, if it was just a brown or a tan one, I just would have said, this is a Jersey, and called it good at that. So we just wanted to make note that, it is, what is it, National Old Fashioned Month, Luke? Or Wisconsin Old Fashioned Month? I don't know.
In Wisconsin, it is Old Fashioned Month. Last year, on September 22nd, Governor Evers declared September 22nd Brandy Old Fashioned Day in Wisconsin, and then declared the entire month of September Wisconsin Brandy Old Fashioned Month. And so now, every September, you should just be drinking as much Wisconsin brandy as you possibly can, I guess. And it's the governor's order.
Great. Yeah, be a good citizen. Go.
Now we got to find out just how good this newsletter of Carolyn's is. When a governor puts out a proclamation like that, I would assume that is in State House Action, the newsletter.
It did not actually make it this week, but bunch of other stuff did.
Okay.
I talk about how these election deniers are in positions to gain real power in states this year, which is going to screw Democrats and democracy writ large in 2024. And I do a deep dive into Michigan, why there's actually hope in terms of flipping one or possibly even both chambers of the Michigan legislature this year, what they got right in terms of redistricting versus what some other states got wrong. And then, of course, when it comes to redistricting, then there's Wisconsin. So,
yeah. There's a new article in the Daily Beast that we reviewed earlier in the show that was extremely harsh on the Republican gubernatorial candidates in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota, that they... They were supposed to be the ones that were going to flip these states, but this particular article thinks that all three of them have run, especially in Michigan, have run such poor or extremist. Really, I think it's more the extremism they're talking about, that it's just not appealing to moderate Midwest voters.
Right, the things they had to do to win their primaries are definitely going to alienate them from the majority, the middle, the centrists, whatever we want to call them.
Yeah, and I mean they're still very much there. And I'd said that I expected that Tim Michaels was going to try to make some kind of a push back toward the center, and I don't think the phrase is to his credit, but I guess to his credit of his right wing bona fides, he has not really done that. And I don't know, did they expect that the Dobbs decision was going to mean that they were going to be greeted as liberators, to use an old analogy, and that was their strategic mistake? Or is this just what happens now in partisan primaries, is sometimes the most extreme candidate because fewer people vote in primaries?
I think it's a little column A and it's a little column B. I think these folks had to do what they had to do, which is go really far to the right and be super Trumpy to win these primaries. And now they're having to deal with that, because it's one thing to attack back to the middle, and a lot of these candidates aren't even bothering. But at the same time, voters hate disingenuity. They hate people who aren't genuine.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you flip flop, that just sticks in folks' craws. So they're in between a rock and a hard place. And also with abortion, like the dog caught the car. Republicans were not prepared for the backlash that I think they should have predicted when it came to, you know, half the population losing a fundamental right.
Yeah, exactly. Which Kamala Harris talked about, the vice president in Milwaukee yesterday, about how the Democratic attorneys general who were gathered there were, you know, on the front line of this. Really? But instead, attorney general's races have turned into, you know, kind of these negative ads from Republicans who are going to try to make it all about law and order. And our colleague Kia Vakil was here yesterday talking about that in the Pennsylvania Senate race, that Dr. Oz is now at the point where the only way he feels he can gain ground is to just go negative on the issue of crime. Is that a trend we're seeing around the country?
Absolutely. Republicans are desperate, so they're attacking into the, like, Democrats are soft on crime, they're anti-police, but things that just aren't true. Like, Democrats in Congress are trying to pass a police funding bill. No one on the left is in any meaningful race this cycle, at least, is running on defunding the police or anything like that. It's just not true. Republicans are desperate and they're trying to scare people into voting for them.
Well, which will work if you have enough money to run enough ads, which, again, we're into record territory. I know we say it a lot, but, you know, even Tony Evers today put out new fundraising totals that smashed Scott Walker's old record. I mean, that is where we are in the Citizens United world.
I am here for smashing anything at Scott Walker's.
And Pat, any other themes or what's that? Luke, I'm sorry.
In this vein for you, and you've been calling it and referencing this, and now I can let you know that you are right. Earlier today, Dan O'Donnell is saying that Tim Michaels is stepping back from his far extreme stance on abortion, and if elected, he would sign an abortion ban that includes exceptions for rape and incest, is what Michaels is now flip-flopping.
How progressive.
There it is.
Pat said that he was going to moderate it.
I will take your adulation. I will take your checks, whatever. But so I guess not the world's biggest surprise, Carolyn?
No, not even a little.
Jeez.
They're scared. They're behind in the polls. A lot of them are behind in fundraising. And they're doing whatever they can to try and just grab more votes.
Will it work?
I don't think so. Again, like, voters don't like it when they don't feel like they can trust what you're saying, that you believe in what you're saying. One of those lessons out of the Trump era, I mean, obviously he was awful for everything and everyone, but he showed us that voters respond to authenticity. Mm-hmm. And if you can't present as authentic, just don't bother running. And flip-flopping doesn't feel real authentic.
All right. Tell folks how to get the newsletter.
You go to statehouseaction.substack.com, sign up. It will be delivered hot and fresh to your inbox later today.
Later today. So, that's right. You said it was still in editing. Okay.
Yes.
I just want to know. I'm just thinking if I Google just State House Action, yes, that'll get me there. So there you are. So good deal. And again, happy old fashioned month. I suppose that's probably not your beverage if you're a Virginia girl, right? So
I am a Virginia girl, but I love a good old fashioned in the fall. It makes me very happy. And in Virginia, it is Virginia Craft Spirits Month. So same vein. Great minds. Okay. Great good. State.
why don't we make a date to appear on Luke's afternoon show a little more often? Because then I don't feel so guilty mixing up beverages, and we should do that.
I endorse this heartily.
I will bring the cow apron. Thank you.
Excellent.
All right. Everybody have a great day, a wonderful weekend. I will be sad on Monday because vote's coming out, but we'll get through it together, folks. Have a great weekend.